This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And our first story is actually one that we would more likely talk about during our movie show, but we are bringing it all the way into Friday. Usually, our last movie show of the week is on Thursday. And that is because the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, better known probably as just the Academy, or more likely the people who give out the Oscars, have announced new representation and inclusion standards for Oscars eligibility in the Best Picture category. And this is what they're this is part of what they're calling their Academy Aperture 2025 initiative. So now, in order to qualify for Best Picture in 2024, essentially you're going to have to meet two sets of standards out of four standards that are outlined in different groups. So we've got standard A, standard B, C, and D. And standard A basically looks at what happens on screen, so actors and the story. So you need to have, say, at least one actor from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group being cast in a significant role, or the story should center on themes that concern marginalized groups, or 30% of the cast should be actors from at least two of those four. You know, it's very long-winded. The point is, standard A focuses on in front of the camera. Standard B looks at what happens behind the camera, so department heads, crew members, and so on. Standard C looks at distributing and the financing company, having at least two interns, and here we really get into the weeds, two interns from an underrepresented group. And standard D looks at senior marketing, publicity, and distribution executives also being from an underrepresented group. So it's trying to, I guess, encompass all the different facets of making a movie, whether it's putting it together or distributing it. And now, in order to qualify for Best Picture, you're going to have to meet some of these. I'm not going to talk about this alone. It's a lot to unpack. So I am bringing in my popcorn culture co-hosts to guest on Evening Edition tonight. Joining me in the studio, we have Sharmila Ganesan, and at home, Arvind Yuvaraj.
Hello, hello.
Hello, fancy seeing you guys on a Friday.
Yeah. On a Friday, 2 hours earlier than usual. It's crazy.
Only the Oscars could do this. Only the Oscars could make this happen.
Oscars, so strange. So, okay, what do you guys think? I didn't run through all of them because we'd be here a while, but I mean, I think on the surface of it, it looks like a really wide-ranging, extensive sort of list of guidelines. But then when you take a closer look at it, some holes start to appear.
Yes, and I think the New York Times article that wrote about it did a great job of breaking down why, while on the surface, these things make sense. And they do make sense. I mean, I don't mean to say that they don't. It also means that actually a lot of these are sort of either or, right? So they're not like you must do this to qualify. You're given a very wide range of criteria. And essentially, in some cases, all you kind of need to do is have interns or caterers or craft service people who fit your ethnic group or women or minority representation, and you're good to go. So I'm not necessarily sure that it's going to change anything.
So the biggest question is, did they do this now to sort of cater to diversity, or did they like reverse engineer this? Because the way it looks like is that maybe, I'm not saying they did, like allegedly, maybe they would have looked at like the template of what movies are today and who they hire and who they have as leads. And then they went, since everyone follows the criteria already, then why not make brackets out of that? I'm not saying that's what happened, but it kind of sounds like it. So the article, one of the articles states, Joker as an example, and says that Zazie Beetz is considered like a co-lead and Joker would qualify as a diversity film. And I'm like, Zazie Beetz was in that movie for like 5 minutes.
I had to try and remember what she did in that film.
Yeah, she hardly shows up. She's like in bits and pieces all over the movie. So it's hardly considered diversity. So again, it's like, you know, what is the guideline here? Like, how much diversity do you have to qualify for these brackets?
I think that there are a few different things that that come in here, right? So on the one hand, there's the film itself, meaning the film that is fully finished and produced and distributed. And what kind of story does that film tell? Who is fronting that story? So there's diversity on that one level. But of course, the other side of it, and I think the side that maybe this does a better job of addressing as opposed to what makes it on screen, is who gets hired within the film industry. So in that area, I think that this makes a little bit more sense, right? Production companies are going to maybe build diversity into their hiring processes because they know that if they want to qualify for Best Picture, that they just have to start building this early. So in the sense of who's now going to be able to be part of the filmmaking process, never mind in leadership roles or not, I think it's a good move. I don't think this actually translates into anything different on air. I don't think this translates into anything different on screen.
So, of course, this all folds back into the question of whether affirmative action works when it comes to wanting to create a more inclusive space, right? And I'm usually on the fence with anything that is affirmative action in the first place. And this is actually a decent example of why it can be problematic in many ways, because you can seem to tick all the boxes without necessarily achieving your aim. Joker is a good example. Yes. Does it tick the boxes? Yes. Does it tick the boxes to have a flat, uninspiring best friend who is from the minority category that you want? Yeah, sure. But is anyone inspired by watching that person on screen? Are people going to react to that character the way you do to a Han Solo or a Princess Leia? Probably not. So then your aim is not achieved. However, I do understand that I don't want to see a diversity clause that's like, you must have this, this, and this in every film either, because then you're just killing creativity.
Yeah. And I mean, Oscar bait is a problem as is, right? I mean, people say, like, you know, movies that come out October onwards are considered Oscar bait. And they tell certain stories and you can kind of see the pattern and what they're aiming for and where they're going. And it is, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it is a thing. It's a gimmick. And with this, you have to be afraid that that gimmick will sort of amplify. Like, people will start looking at this and going, okay, so if we are in like standards A and B or B and D, then there's a higher chance of us getting the best picture. And that's also kind of like, it also kills creativity, because are you writing this to win awards for the studio? Are you writing this because you actually feel that way about the characters in the story? Are you actually giving any importance and the spotlight to these stories to be told? Or is it just like sort of like a free ticket for you to get certain awards on one night?
So I think that what happens a lot of the time with these sorts of guidelines is that they lay them out and hope that people will overperform. So the idea here is that, you know, if I create the space for it, then hopefully somebody will pay or will want to buy an exceptional script, maybe written by, say, a young aspiring Black filmmaker, and then make that movie. And hopefully, you know, it will result in that kind of epic diversity that we actually want to see. On the other hand, as you rightly point out, Arvind, it's remarkably easy to tick these boxes off. Existing films, by and large, already do so or could do so with minor tweaks. So there is, of course, the absolute possibility that they are just going to aim for doing the least and qualifying, or doing the most mediocre and qualifying. And then in the best case scenario, you get everything coming together and you have somebody whose creative vision might not have been seen on screen a decade ago to actually win Best Picture or be nominated.
I will give them this amount of cautious props, though. And I think that there's something to be said, especially in today's world where all of these conversations play out very publicly. I think there's something to be said for perception, like conversation, the putting the idea out that this matters, that this is no longer something that we can overlook, that this is important when it comes to making films, making anything really. And so even if on paper a lot of this might seem very easily met, the fact that it is being highlighted, I hope, will get people thinking about it, not just in front of the camera, but who are your screenwriters? Who are your composers? You know, when you choose to tell a story of a particular culture, do you think about who's telling that story? So in that sense, I will say that as far as creating a conversation, whether or not that conversation is coming from a sincere place, I can't say. With Hollywood, you know, half of the time this is driven by dollars and cents. Nevertheless, I think it's important and good, cautiously, that it's happening.
So you're listening to a mini popcorn culture invasion on Evening Edition tonight. If you've never heard of popcorn culture, it is our movie show that actually runs from Tuesdays to Thursdays at 7:30. And today we're getting together outside of our usual time zones because, again, the Oscars have set minimum diversity guidelines to qualify for the Best Picture. This is going to kick in 2024. And after this, we're going to be continuing the conversation with one main question, which is this what audiences want? And so that's what I would love to know. I mean, do you guys care about diversity in film? Is it something that you personally are hungry for? Do you prioritize it when you're buying that ticket or not so much? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and I'm joined by my erstwhile pop culture co-hosts, Arvin and Sharmila, and we are talking today about the Academy Awards, and how come 2024... they are hoping that by setting in stone now some diversity guidelines, that we will see a more diverse set of 10 films when those nominations are announced. And we closed off earlier with a question that I now wanted to reopen, which is, do you guys actually think this matters, you know, to the audience? As an audience member yourself, as a film consumer, do you care about this?
I'm going to say that I didn't know I cared until I was shown otherwise. And I think that actually is representative of the audience in general. You know, when you grow up with so much of one particular, you know, white sort of representation on screen, you don't realize that you missed it. And then that first time, you know, when you watch something like The Joy Luck Club or The Black Panther, suddenly you realize how exciting it can be when stories are different. Hmm. So now I care hugely. And that's because I actually, not because so much of representation, I do care about that, but because I think it adds to what we're watching.
I think I care if it's not tokenistic. And if I cannot tell that you're doing it to, you know, as a brochure that you're giving me and saying, hey, come watch this movie because it's, you know, it's diverse and it's got a cast that isn't all white or isn't just from Hollywood. I like it when the stories are authentic and if they wanted to tell it in the first place. Because I think the audience can tell if you're advertising to them or you're pandering to them, it's pretty obvious. So in that case, yes. And if there is a lot of authenticity, then I wanna see it for sure. If you're just doing to check boxes like we're talking about, then no, not really.
So what I find more often than not is that I feel it in its lack more than I seek it out actively in the cinema, because I am still going to go and watch whatever films interest me. And that can happen on a variety of bases, right? Like it might be that the poster looks great. It might be that I've seen the trailer loads of times. There are so many different reasons for why sometimes people are just bored, you know? But what I've realized is that as time has gone on as a consumer, what I notice is when it's lacking, when I realize halfway through that all I've seen are a host of faces that are all of one, you know, color and culture. And then I'm like, actually, when was the last time a woman spoke in this film? So I find myself noticing these things more now. But in terms of what I actively seek out, what I'm paying good ringgit for, not so much. I think it does matter. I'm more likely to watch something if it's touted as a good movie that is also inclusive. But the good movie part is crucial.
I think the good movie part should be the thing, right? And the best case scenario is when your creator, your filmmaker realizes that you're no longer able to make a good movie because the audience also has changed. You know, a few decades ago, a white person could play an Indian person or a Chinese person with bad makeup and you'd buy it. Sean Connery passed for Japanese, right? Not that I don't like Bond, but hey, that wouldn't fly today. Today, the audience no longer buys into that. And therefore, it creates an entertainment experience that isn't fun anymore. You can't get into the film because it's just not realistic. And so I think the audience also has changed. And therefore, what is good remains as important.
I mean, speaking about the audience, if anything, I think Hollywood sort of owes it to the world to have diversity, because it's not just an American thing or the percentage of people in America, right? I mean, they've made so much money from the global box office. You can see how they sort of tweak movies to different box office, to different markets, to different landscapes. So if you're making that much money and your audience comes from all over the world, then don't you owe it to them to have them in your movies as well? And I think that honestly, like today, they do, because they make more money overseas than they do in the US for lots of shows. So if anything, just for that sake alone, if you wanna cater to like a very global audience, you might as well have a diverse cast as well.
Okay, so we are just going to close off, I think, with a question that is also a prediction. Do you guys think that the best pictures we're going to see in 2024, are they going to be really, really different from what we've seen in the past?
I think the change is going to be more behind the scenes. I think what we see on screen may not be very different, but I think and hope that we'll see a lot more filmmakers, composers, crew members we may not really know. Yeah, I'm hoping a Greta Gerwig will get a nomination in 2024.
In line with the Oscars and how they've done stuff, I'm pretty sure in 2024 it's going to be exactly the same. And everybody will be like, wait, what? Like, why? And you'll be like scratching your heads and it'll make the news. But I don't know. Honestly, I predict that 2024, the movie that wins Best Picture will be so baffling that people will wonder why these brackets were there in the first place.
I didn't think I would come out of this conversation the most optimistic, but apparently I am. Because I think that what we are going to see is, look, the Best Picture list over the last 4 to 5 years hasn't been bad. It's actually been reasonable. We've also seen the winning of Moonlight. We've also seen Parasite. So it's not to say...
Green Book, though.
I was just going to say Green Book, though.
All right. I'm going to continue my optimistic spiel as if nothing happened. But it hasn't been awful. All right. Is everyone happy now? But I think that because they've been so public about this, because they've announced it, they're making such a big, you know, to do, that ultimately what we're going to get is more conversation. So when 2024 rolls around and that list comes out, if it is not as diverse as it should be, I think the backlash and the conversation surrounding that will once again recenter diversity and inclusion. So maybe the list itself isn't going to change tremendously, but the way we talk about it might.
Yes, and I think that's one step forward, if nothing.
I mean, at least they're planting the seeds now, right?
Yes.
Wow. Mm. Look
you,
at us.
You've optimized us, if that's a thing.
All right. So that is it from us on our little popcorn culture takeover of the evening edition. We've been talking about the Academy Awards and how they have set minimum diversity rules and guidelines to qualify to be nominated for Best Picture come 2024. And the question here is, you know, do you think this makes any sort of difference for you? Do you ever prioritize diversity in terms of what you are willing to buy a ticket for, what you spend money on? You can let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.